This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the number one online broadcast network for movie talk, this is the Cosplay Coach. Costume breakdowns and tips and tricks to create your own. And now, the coach yourself, Meredith Placco.
Hey, everyone. We're going to have to add that to the intro now because we have regulars. Welcome back to the Cosplay Coach. I am your host, Meredith Placco. You can find me on the Twitterverse and Instagram at mplacco.
I'm Katie Elhoffer. I am at Elhoffer Design.
And I am Emma Fife. I am at Emma Fife.
We're pretty straightforward here. Until I change my Twitter name. It's coming, guys. I swear. Anyways, welcome back to another thrilling week where we talk all the amazing costumes that you see on the big and small screen. And this week, I'm pretty stoked because we're talking about a film that isn't out quite yet. It comes out Friday, May 1st. Though, let's be honest, most of us see like Thursday, 9 p.m. showings of the blockbusters.
Yeah, I know I have tickets to a 10:30 show on Thursday night.
It's fantastic. Thank you, L.A., for letting us see things on East Coast midnight time. But we are talking about the one, the only, Avengers 2 Age of Ultron.
Yes!
Which, I don't know. No, I actually do know you ladies. I'm a giant Marvel fan. I love comics. I love the Avengers. I've loved almost every Marvel film that has come out this year. But this one, I'm really super excited about because it's the ensemble cast. It's Joss Whedon doing what he does best, directing a film of really cool, badass superhumans, kind of teaming up and destroying things. He's really good at it, and I'm super excited.
Absolutely.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I know. So, so getting into things today, there's so much to cover because how do you break down what a superhero wears?
Yeah.
I know, because if we're talking comics, it'd be like spandex. Okay, easy. 30 minutes, sew it, you're done. Mm-hmm. But what Marvel has crafted, and specifically with Alexandra Byrne, who is doing the Avengers stuff, she also worked on the first Avengers. She did Thor. She did Guardians of the Galaxy. She's helped create the look for so many of Marvel's films at this point. You would think it would become routine for her, but they're all new suits. It's new challenges. But I guess the great thing is these actors, these friends who she's come to grow and work with since she started doing the designs in 2011 with Thor.
So. Yeah. And she does tweak the costumes every single time. It's not like she just puts them back in the exact same suit that they were wearing in the last movie. And I think something that she does extremely well and something that is somewhat constraining when it comes to designing for superhero films is fans have an image in their head of what these superheroes look like. And granted, you know, we do see people's costumes evolve across the era. You know, Captain America in more recent comics isn't wearing the exact same that he was wearing back in the 1940s.
Exactly.
So I think that she does extremely well, like you were mentioning, Meredith, that like there is this other level of more like gritty realism to these costumes. They're more like armor than like the spandex suits that you would naturally
but
assume.
But they still invoke the original designs of these characters. And I love something in with Alex's work plus the other designers who've worked with Marvel up until this point is how they've managed to grow with the characters. Like you know, you said with Cap, you know, even in the first Avenger, you know, they don't have the synthetic materials that they have today. So a lot of his outfit was leather and cottons and really basic materials. And now that they have advanced technology, they're able to really pull and create this other like super modern superhero suit with, yeah. with Cap, and I love it. It's actually his costume evolution is probably one of my favorites, and we'll talk about that a little bit later when we break down the costumes.
I think something important too is the concept artists, which mm-hmm. who were never ever given the recognition they deserve. Yes. The previous image that was just up yeah. was the massive fight that they all do, mm-hmm. and that was done by Ryan Meiderding.
I've been having issues with his.
I'm friends with his wife, which is so amazing. She's hilarious and awesome. Mm-hmm. But he does, and his whole team does the most amazing concept art, and that's what all of the costume designers have to pick from. Like yeah. they'll do yeah. 30 renderings of Scarlet Witch, and then you know Alex will say, "I want this one," and then they'll go with that.
Yeah.
So she gets a great team to go to the concept art.
My favorite concept artist from the Marvel stuff is Andy Park.
I follow him on Instagram. I love him.
Andy is fantastic, and he's actually responsible for most of what we see Scar Jo wear as Black Widow.
Yeah.
And he actually, what I loved, it was done in Winter Soldier. So up until Winter Soldier, Black Widow's kind of appeared in all the Iron Man films, mm-hmm. and we saw her, you know, in Avengers 1 and Cap 2. But her suit was like kind of this single color black, not a lot of
no texture, you know,
no depth to it. But what he really wanted to do was add a two-tone value. Mm-hmm. But he did that not by bringing in another color, but by adding different types textures, of material, yes, different yes. textures.
So like the side of a princess seam is a leather look, while the mm-hmm. front is more of like a Kevlar-y yeah. depth, textured piece.
And what he actually wanted to do, and I found this really great quote in the Captain America Winter Soldier art book, was that he wanted the new costume from Winter Soldier to have the lines of the costume are created by the transition from one material to the next versus like using piping
yes.
or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is, yeah. as a costume designer, that gets me going because I love playing with textures. I love playing yeah. with fabrics and like making non-stretched material work on a bodysuit like that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well, and that was something that I even was noticing about the Cap costume as I was looking at photos of the new costume in this movie. I was like, it looks to me like there is a chest plate, but it's part of his jacket, yeah. really, but it's just made out of a different material than the stripes. It's really, really effective.
It really is. And this is so, I wish I had gotten a photo of them. I was at Big Wow Comic Fest last weekend up in San Jose.
Yeah.
And I know I'm still learning West Coast cities. And there was a father and son, and the son was dressed as Robin from Batman, but the father was dressed as Captain America, and he had made their costumes, and it had that puffy texture, and it wasn't like necessarily a spandexy material, but he told me he used yoga mats, and specifically
nice.
The thinner yoga mats from Target because they rolled a certain direction and it was able to conform to the body. So he used that as padding in between sports mesh, which you can kind of get anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like you see like football shorts yeah. used mm-hmm. in it. You use it,
it's
actually.
Jersey rice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rice mesh jersey.
Yeah. Because yeah. you yeah. make these fantastic
sports ponchos.
Ponchos. And you just combine that with a little bit of spandex and some other like polyester fabrics, and legitimately one of the best Captain America and Robin costumes I've ever seen, because I've never really seen someone do like a grounded Robin either. Mm-hmm. So, and it was a really, really great tip. So I'm like, all right, yeah, yoga mats, and they're cheap. I like yoga mats.
Well, they did that with another, and I couldn't remember what movie it was, but there was a costume designer that's looking to do a rugged look on the jacket, mm-hmm. and they ended up using ShamWows.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They bought a ton of ShamWows
to create that texture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they wanted a suede look, but they wanted it to be water absorbent. Like, it was basically, they wanted ShamWow.
Perfect.
That's pretty awesome. Like,
as costume designers, we have to be resourceful.
Yeah. No, we really do. And that's something I love about, you know, Alex, and her team, and really any costume designer. But I was reading a great interview with her where she was talking about, in terms of Thor's character, is mm-hmm. that a lot of it is kind of hit and miss, like throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So the costume would evolve as time went on with, you know, the actors growing and them kind of seeing what works and what doesn't. And so, you know, you start with like a basis and you put a bunch of stuff on. And this is something I tell, especially if you're doing original interpretations of costumes, learn to edit. Less mm-hmm. actually is more sometimes.
Absolutely.
And so they pick and pull and see what worked and what didn't. And I think that ultimately gives you the best visual, because while you can get some really great concept art bringing that concept art to real life 3D.
To doing movement and all the fighting they have to do.
Well, and in this film, too, we're seeing Thor without the arm portion of his armor. Yeah. And it was
frankly the best part of him.
I was going to say, I mean, I was reading an interview that said that it was too hot to wear the sleeves, but I choose to believe it's because they didn't want to hide Chris Hemsworth's
arms. I was just going to say, we all talk about, like, oh, Black Widow's so sexy and ScarJo has to die and do this. Like, no, let's talk about the work the men have to do, because
it's quite a bit.
Yeah, it's good. It's real good. Yeah, so let's get into Captain America. We have so many Avengers to cover today. So we're gonna
it's like there's six of them or something.
Yeah, I know. Plus, we're not gonna talk about James. We'll just talk about James Spader all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Captain America, really amazing suit. And as we kind of mentioned, the evolution of Captain America, which I hope that photo got to you guys in time. Katie found this really great photo that you can see how the costume goes from his like, I'm USO, woo woo, go troops, and he's like, all right, I'm gonna put something together, and then we get to the more grounded costume where you have like the like leather molded.
Well, they're bringing
headpiece.
In this texture here.
Oh yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I was talking about the leather molded one because of the time period. But yeah, then you start to see more of the texture from modern day fabrics, and then it just kind of.
I love that Winter Soldier costume much.
The Winter Soldier and the Avengers 2 one looks so similar with bringing in this. I don't even know what to call it, but the.
I know, like abs? I mean, really? Yeah. It's abs?
Like, here, it's right to be red, to bring in his red, because his Winter Soldier costume has no red in it, which a lot of people had issues with.
Yeah.
Which, of course, he goes back into his classic look.
Well, right. And what I love about the Avengers 2 one is it reminds me so much of Rhodey's Patriot armor from Iron Man.
Well, and I think also what really works about the Avengers 2 one is, as Katie was mentioning, it's like incorporating everything that was so great about that Winter Soldier costume, which was so contemporary and so grounded, but bringing in those more cartoonish, classic red, white, and blue primary color elements that we've come to expect in the Captain America costume.
Well, and that's an important defining thing of Captain America, is that while he's a superhero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, a very grounded universe, he's still a symbol.
Absolutely.
And you need to elevate that symbol above all else. So having brighter colors, it makes it more fantastical. Mm-hmm. It makes it more unattainable in a way.
Well, and the reason they took away the color from his Winter Soldier one is because he's questioning his patriotism, which is so important that he has that issue because he's been brought into the modern day world where we're not the same as we were in the 40s.
Which will be even more striking to see where they go from there, because knowing that they're going into the Civil War in the comic book storyline, it's a split between the superpowered people of the Earth, where the United States wants to do a superhero registration act where everyone reveals their identity. And surprisingly, and I don't want to say too much, but Cap doesn't fall in the line that you would think. So seeing the morality questioning through costuming is really, it's brilliant. It's just brilliant. We talk about that, I feel, every week, like how the costumes have so much extra depth and layer and meaning.
They absolutely do, and it's not something that is specifically brought attention to within the context of the movie. Like, for example, there's never a scene in Winter Soldier where they sit Cap down and say, hey, we noticed that you don't have any red in your uniform anymore.
Yeah, it seems like you're just not going for this anymore. Like, it seems like you're not into it.
Yeah.
No, it's, God, amazing.
I think, and I don't know if it was on the previous picture too, Captain America on his new costume, he's wearing little Avengers logos on his shoulders.
Yes, yeah.
Because Tony Stark's funding everything now, and so he's branding everyone.
He does. Tony wants to brand, and Tony wants to make a corporation out of them. It's not just about being a superhero, it's about being a brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we all have to do in this modern age. We have a close-up shot, too, of the Cap costume from the backside, which I love getting backside pictures of of costumes, because you can just see all the extra detail that goes into it.
I mean, look at all the red accents. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't get that from just looking at the front picture.
No.
Like, they really brought it into every aspect of the costume. And you can see the spats on his
boots. I was just going to say, they put spats on. That's really, that's such a nice, like, nod to the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you see that. Now, in terms of making this costume, this is, it's a project.
It's definitely a project.
Like, I, it's one of those things where I would kind of look for a lot of rubbered cotton, because you can get a really, you know, we've mentioned this before, like you can get either a rubberized cotton or like a windbreaker type material, I think would work really well for something like this.
It would be good to treat it like armor almost.
Yeah, I was
and
gonna
to,
say.
To mold it, to put that fabric over something stronger.
Like yoga mats.
Yeah. Yes, like yoga mats.
Totally.
Yeah. And I mean, there's just so much detail on this. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah,
and I do know how they
Yeah, there's a. I mean, it's a lot of building and structuring, and think about it that, you know, they have body casts of all these actors that they can constantly, because you can't have the actors available to tailor.
Well, and no. I mean, these suits are largely fabricated armor. Mm-hmm. This is not just the work of draping a pattern and, you know, beating fabric into submission on a sewing machine.
Exactly, and I think for Cap and probably Cap, Hawkeye, and Widow, I'd say are the most fabricated one,
yes,
where it's still grounded. But even then, like the star in the center, I mean, that's a silicone molded star, latex or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a casted prop. You do see leather details in the shoulder pads, which is really great.
Yeah. Well, and then technically, his gauntlet is supposed to have a magnet attached to it, so that the shield comes back attaches. Magnetically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is a nice addition for this film. It's almost like a batarang type situation.
Yeah.
Now, the shield itself is an impressive piece of hardware.
It is. Yeah, I have some friends who bought like a really nice replica of the shield, and I was talking to them. I was like, "Did you guys make that shield?" They're like, "No, we spent a lot of money on this."
I have seen people get trash can lids and make amazing Captain America shields out of it.
You can make an awesome Captain America shield out of one of those like saucer sleds.
Yeah.
All you have to do is you take the handles off of it, and this is a really neat trick that I saw in one tutorial that I was reading about. It. I was like, oh, I should make a cap shield. To make the rings perfect circles, you actually drill a hole in the center of it, and you tie a string that's half the circumference of how big you want the circle to be, and then you just draw your Sharpie around.
Oh, it's creating a protractor.
Yeah,
that's
create your
amazing.
Own protractor.
Yeah, and then, and two, if you're looking for, like, painting stuff, duct tape. Or painter's tape. Well, actually, painter's tape is your best thing, because I'll often mask stuff off and then paint it. It's a little bit harder when you're dealing with a circle, but
a little more challenging.
Yeah. And again, with the weathering on top of that, you could really go to town just adding burn marks and skid marks with that.
Well, and if you're doing it on the shed, I imagine you can take some heat, like soldering iron, and just like start goring into it too.
Oh my gosh, yeah, like or just split his shield apart, like we've seen some promos.
Yeah,
I don't want to happen.
One of my favorite facts about this costume, and I think any cosplayer knows this, is the issue of how do you go to the bathroom when you're wearing a bunch of clothing. But I guess one of Evan's things he really wanted to have in this version was being able to go to the bathroom easier. So he says that this costume was much easier to pee in than the previous incarnation. So that's good. Maybe they added like a little zipper, invisible zipper in the crotch.
I had read that interview with him and with Alex Byrne as well, and apparently she had asked him, is there anything you want to see happen with Cap's costume? And that was his one request.
Yeah, and Alex did that with, like, I think everyone, because everyone kind of has a story of how Alex incorporated their personal requests.
Yeah.
And that's a great, like, to me as a costume designer, I think that's wonderful that she's so willing to work with her team.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's imperative, especially when they're in costumes for as long as they are in this film, that they are at least somewhat comfortable.
Yeah.
So it's what every good costume designer does. She's amazing.
It's true, and it's actually really funny. In that same interview, they were talking to Mark Ruffalo about whether or not he was jealous of everybody that got to wear these costumes, because, of course, he's not wearing a costume. He is CG.
He's wearing, I think, I can't remember what he called it, like a man removal bodysuit.
He said it was so funny.
I can't remember it, though.
Like, I think he said it on Jimmy Kimmel when they were talking about it.
But it was basically, he referred to it as like being an emasculating type bodysuit, but he had a really cute name for it.
It was, oh man.
Just watched it today.
I know. Look it up, tweet it at us.
It was good.
So initially he said, I was kind of jealous of everybody because they get to wear these really cool costumes and I don't. But after hours and hours and weeks and months worth of shooting and them being in these heavy, complicated, hot costumes every single day, he wasn't too jealous.
Because a lot of, especially now in the newer stuff, they have like fans all like, I know Thor's costume has like a fan inside of it, and Black Widow has to carry around an electric box. So these actors have to drag power sources with them.
I'm just imagining like skinny Black Widow just like hauling this giant car battery, and like Cap walks by and just picks it up and walks with it.
I know, and Ruffalo is just sitting there like, Have fun, guys. Enjoy it.
In his Andy Serkis style bodysuit with dots everywhere. No, so there's a quick touch up on his piece that where he's wearing the costume itself. Captain America's suit in the Winter Soldier took 4 months for them to find the right fabrics for, and they incorporated a lot of that into this one. Which that costume designer was Judiana Makovsky. So I mean, what's great about Marvel is that like they bring in a bunch of costume designers, and some of that like a lot of them follow through that whole line.
Yeah,
but they all pull upon each other's strengths and that knowledge because they work out of the Marvel costume shop, which is like an ideal job I think for any of us.
It is fantastic, and I love that. And they work so closely with Legacy Effects, who actually is the company that does Tony Stark's suit.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk a little bit about, but because we're not fabricators, we're seamstresses.
Yeah. Well, and I think Judiana in one of her interviews said that the man who makes the Captain's suit as well as Black Widow's and the Winter Soldier costume was Dale Wibben.
Oh, the tailor for them?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so awesome. That's
I just like calling out names.
No,
I think it's really important.
No, well, actually, one of the reasons I started this show specifically was that as a cosplayer, I don't feel we pay enough homage to the people who actually created the stuff. It's like, oh yeah, that's great. I did a really good replica of someone else's costume, but it's the person who designed it. I mean, yeah, it's cool that you can make it. That should be celebrated.
Sure.
But I really want to give as much homage to the people who made the stuff that we can recreate.
The massive team. There's so many people involved in the production of this.
I'm from a family where my parents taught us at a very early age, you stay till the end of the credits because a lot of people worked really hard on this movie. So I think that's a really important message to spread.
Oh, and it's so great because you have the ties to the community that you know a lot of these people. So, because even like searching through interviews, they don't get enough credit.
I was trying to find more interviews for this movie, and granted, I think probably more will start to emerge once the movie is
there's an embargo still, I think, happening.
Yeah, that's once it's actually been released, but I was frustrated, you know.
This was a hard, I'll be honest, guys, this was a hard show to prep for.
Yeah.
But we got some good stuff, like Black Widow's bodysuit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I love that you're using the old, like, image that was leaked, like, a couple months ago.
I had to use this image for personal reasons. This was a leaked image, and I just found it again, because I remember someone getting in trouble for this. Black Widow, so for me, I love the character from the comics. I love Scarlett Johansson. I love her portrayal of it.
But you hate this costume.
No, I don't.
No?
I don't. I think my issue is I've never cosplayed Black Widow, because I've found the comic book version too boring for me.
Yeah.
And I find the movie ones, unless I can do it right, I don't want to do it at all.
Yeah, and they're very they're very intense.
They really are.
Yes.
And I mean, look at, she has a square princess seam going around her, but then she also has a curve around her butt, like underbust. Like, that's unnecessary. It's awesome that they did it.
though I will say I managed to do that for my Dark Knight Returns Catwoman.
Oh, nice.
But that being said, I'd mentioned this, I think it was in a panel at Big Wow. It's so great. So if you're cosplayers out there, if you're working on a bodysuit, and it doesn't have to be this one particularly, adding that little like bust seam cup, even just like doing a dart underneath the bust, it's going to help enhance your breasts because spandex really flattens things down. I have friends who are like well-endowed women and still have issues with the bodysuits kind of like compressing everything.
Yeah.
And so I actually learned this from Filipino photographer Jay Tablante, who we talked about on the show last week. Mm-hmm. And he taught me to add that little dart underneath because as a photographer of many buxom women in costumes, he's like, I discovered this because he went to fashion, he learned fashion, and he's like, I found it enhanced. I'm like, that's a smart technique, sir. And I actually believe that the new McCall's bodysuit pattern that they just released has that in
the
it.
The one with Yaya?
Yaya's
bodysuits are great.
Yeah. But I'm like, I know she shot with Jay. I wonder if Jay gave her that technique.
Well, have you seen other pictures of Black Widow's bodysuit?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Okay, so the colors change.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize until recently.
Yeah, it's not just Tron blue.
Yeah.
She gets a red power-up. And what the new LED, not LED, but the new light-up, it actually gives her a like force power that she can kind of send energy out at people. And it comes out like her Widow Bites would work as an electric shock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it changes from blue to red, which I thought was interesting because when I saw some concept art a long time ago, I was like, what are they? Or the one or the other? But I'm curious to see where we'll... And I have a picture later on where it shows the red in action from a fight scene.
In the trailers.
One of the things I don't get is why she doesn't have an Avengers logo on her. like, because the concept is Tony's making all these pieces. The only one that he put the Avengers logo on is Cap. Yeah. I feel like it's a little nod to Tony to be like, you're mine. Everyone else is fine.
You are not the leader.
But I think it, in the trailer, we see that because where Tony kind of gets frustrated with, he's like, I'm just the one with the money. Cap's the leader. And I think there's a little bit of bitterness. And I think he puts his stamp on Captain America for that very reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, Widow's like, if we can go back to the other poster real quick, I'm sorry, just because it was such a more detailed shot, we can really see the different textures going on here. And you have like that leatherette look and like a more, textured, like I see this as in a lot of outdoor fabrics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're similar looking for...
Similar to Captain's.
Yeah, very similar to Captain's. And I found, the closest American site I found to Source's fabric, and it's not exact, but SeattleFabrics.com does have some really good mesh that you can overlay on another black. But I did find the actual source for Winter Soldier Black Widow fabric from China, from a supplier out there, but it's kind of gone now because posted it to a bunch of, like, on RPF, and I think a lot of people snagged it up, so, which is cool, which is awesome when
That's
you can source that stuff. But yeah, there's just so many style lines. And again, you know, I say this all the time, when you're wanting to do a bodysuit with this many style lines, just get some white spandex material, do a bodysuit, put it on you or someone who, or if you have a dress form or someone who's shaped like you, and just draw and make your pattern based off of that. It's really going to be the easiest way than trying to flat pattern this.
Yeah, because ultimately with this, you know, the key to successfully executing this costume is having all those different body lines and having all the different sections that are made out of the different fabrics to give it that dynamic look that they've gone for with Black Widow's costumes in the movie. So I agree with you on make a mock-up of this.
Yeah, and I would say for the front part where the zip is with the texture, I wouldn't do a very strong stretch on that one. If anything, I would do the stretch on the faux leather look, because this isn't a body. This isn't a cat suit. This is just a really tailored bodysuit.
It really is, and you can make a bodysuit out of non-stretch material. In fact, if you happen to find there's an old Simplicity pattern from the 70s that is a non-stretch denim bodysuit, and you can still find them on eBay, and I happen to have one. It's a really good basis for doing that. If you want to make it not out of spandex, it's going to be, just keep in mind that you can't have that stretch. Mm-hmm. But you can't, I think putting the stretch, you know, where you want your stuff to stretch is going to be on your side seams, underneath your arms, and in your crotch. That's kind of the key point for all your stretch materials.
Well, and it looks to me, too, that you could do those side sections out of a stretchy faux leather.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I love it. And you know, and in terms of the lighting, you know, it's the same problem with the Tron suit is you can work with EL tape, you can work with EL wire, but the thing is that it needs to have a each strip has to be battery powered. So anytime where it's not continuous and it breaks, there has to be battery going to that. So, I mean, yes, you can get it up the arm, but then, you know, would you continue it somehow up the shoulders? And then you can't just really bring it around the whole suit.
Yeah.
It would be a lot.
And I mean, they literally had an electrician as part of their team to do this suit. So
I think another option too would be to do like a reflective tape or like a silver type foil.
Yeah.
That's what we did with the piece that you're wearing right now.
Oh, yeah.
To make it so it doesn't have to be that bright blue, because it does change color.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to cosplay, I feel like you have to be as perfect as possible. Mm-hmm. And, like, can you get an EL tape that goes blue from blue to red?
Exactly.
I've seen it purple, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, that's a lot of work.
She's like she's like a disco. It's amazing. I'd be like, hey, let's go party.
I thought it was more of like a mood ring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be really good. Or, you know, the other option, too, is
That's awesome.
Yeah. Photo luminescent tape, because that way, because especially at a convention, everyone's going to have a flash on you anyway, so it will just pop, which I think I've seen. Anise Dum Fatel, I believe, is the latex designer who's used that in her Tron Siren costumes.
Nice.
Which we need to talk about Tron sometime.
Totally.
Yeah. Because it's a Disney thing, and Marvel's Disney now, so it all works. But yeah, I love this costume, actually. I love it more and more that I see it, because also I feel of all the costumes, it fits ScarJo the best.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the high belt on some of the previous
ones. Or the double belts?
Yeah, the double belts. I was like, no.
Way to put, like, you want to, and like, you always want to put it at the waist because it's the smallest part of the body, but then they have it on the hips too. I'm like, what are you doing?
I know. Belts can be really useful, but then they could also be really detracting. But yeah, the more I've seen this costume, the more I fall in love with it.
Well, I love that, like, on her arms, where you can see how loose it is, it's not skin tight.
No, it's not. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Oh, God. All right. We can talk about this forever, but we'll move on to Thor. I love Thor. So it's probably the, like, of all the costumes I've, this is from Thor 1, I've like kind of looked at and picked apart because the cape, I'm just gonna, we'll talk about the cape in a bit, but I'm just gonna say,
beautiful cape.
Yeah, I love epic capes, but.
Oh, yes.
I know. But his suit, it's, so you look at it and you think, oh, it's armor. And, all that scale mail. That, his scale mail on his arms and legs, it's actually molded from, silicone mm-hmm. or latex. They mm-hmm. did a body cast of him and it's, sculpted and cast because mm-hmm. he needs that flexibility mm-hmm. to move. And so much flexibility that when he was bulking up for the original Thor film, they underestimated how big he was going to be and they had to actually carve out some of it for him to fit into it because they were like, oh, maybe we need, to get a muscle suit because we don't know how big Chris Hemsworth is. Oh, no, he totally owned it and
he's
he went to the gym.
He's really good at this.
Yeah. And he took it and ran with it. And it was interesting too for the original Thor costume. Alex Byrne in the costume department had been working on designs and pieces for it for a whole year and a half, up to 2 years before Hemsworth even stepped foot in for a fitting.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's like, so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because she'd previously worked with Kenneth Branagh, who directed Thor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess they just got together and came up with some ideas, and she just got to dedicate a year and a half of her life to making a Norse god.
Yeah, and it's fantastic, and I'm excited to see the sleeves go, because I feel like it is a very restricting costume, and mm-hmm. Thor... So, Thor he's a kid in many ways. He's still mm-hmm. very young. He's still very brash.
He's a Gryffindor.
He is a Gryffindor. And like, I feel like the newer costume where they've slashed the sleeves off, and it's really, I don't know. I like it. I like the overall look. There's just something about it because he has that raw power.
Well, I can't spoil anything because I haven't seen it, but right. like he's working more with the Avengers, and so he's becoming mm-hmm. a little bit more human in a way. Like, he's no longer seeing himself as that god. He doesn't go back to Asgard and do his thing there.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like the more of his very mythical looking armor that goes away, the more grounded in Earth reality Thor mm-hmm. becomes, and I think that is a real reflection of the direction that his character is going.
And that's ultimately kind of what he wants for a while. So, and this is so funny. So we're talking about how all the actors had the little like things that they wanted Alex to fix on the costumes. Thor's was specifically, can we lose the sleeves? It's so hot. So
they're so hot. When especially, I mean, it's like a silicone mold. Like, they don't mm-hmm. breathe.
No.
There's no breathing in there.
No.
So, I can't imagine just how sweaty it gets on the inside.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially like having special effects prosthetic makeup applied to your entire arm.
To your entire body, but it's on his legs, too.
Yeah.
And it goes down. You can see it go down into his, like, ribs.
Yeah.
No.
No, not at all. I realize, I'm sorry, camera, I keep looking back here at the pictures, and I'm not looking at the camera, but
I'm
just so good.
They know what you look like.
I know. It's fine. I'm just like, I'm not ignoring you guys. I just want to look at Thor. Can't help it. and then his cape. Oh, God. Okay, so, first off, I need your guys' opinion on this, we can look back here. So we see the cape, which this is a wool cape dyed red. Mm-hmm. That's, they get their mm-hmm. wool from England.
Yeah.
Then I found this still from the film, from the New Age of Ultron movie, and it looks like a molded silicone cape.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
At least the shoulders.
At least. But they did this for Avengers, the first one, too. Like, it was just bringing this accent into the shoulder that looks like the cape, as if when he detaches the wool, there's just this red left where it's like, I'm kind of wearing the cape still.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, because we haven't seen the movie yet.
Right.
If we talk a lot in terms for film, how they'll make 10 plus of these different costumes for different scenes.
Yes.
And if they have a molded cape for certain fight scenes, because it's just going to be easier to control than a big billowy wool cape.
Absolutely. I mean, that is something that you see a lot in film, is basically the costume that is used for close-ups
mm-hmm.
or referred to as the hero costume.
Yes.
Or like in the case of something like Back to the Future, they had a hero car, which was the DeLorean they used for all the close-up shots. And then you have your sort of action sequence things. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, with somebody like Thor, for some of the close-ups, pieces of the costume are actually made out of metal.
Yeah.
According to Alexander Byrne, anyway.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But for the stunt sequences, mm-hmm. I seriously doubt that.
No, they wouldn't.
His stunt double would ever wear any metal.
No.
No, but yeah. Like,
it has to be also looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the one on the... Left, right?
The one from Thor 2.
From Thor 2.
Yeah, from Thor 2, you definitely see leather and metal going on there, and I feel like this one, for all intents and purposes, could be like a B like mm-hmm. costume.
Yeah.
Because it looks, a lot of it looks more silicone and rubber.
Well, I mean, even that marking on the, yeah. the right of the shoulder.
Like, yeah, fabric just, doesn't fray like that.
Yeah, that looks like looks a silicone like that's been digged in.
Looks like a tire.
Yeah.
It does look like a tire.
Yeah, sorry, when I saw that photo, I was like, I got to bring this to the girls. I want to talk about
that. Yeah, no, I noticed that too, because obviously with the wool cape, that you know, there is quite a lot of molding going on in the shoulders, but it's all covered by the fabric, whereas in this photo, it's very clearly not fabric on the shoulders.
So I love little details like that. Things like that. One, why I want to do the show so I can talk about this stuff with you guys and share it. But two, I'm like, as a designer, I'm just like, that's cool. That has a purpose. I like that. And then a great little quote I found about the cape is, the thing about Thor is that you've got a really big red cloak, so you need to take that on board. Everybody felt quite strongly that the cloak would not be good on the Helicarrier. We had to find ways of using the cloak, but he's also a god from Asgard, so we had to make him fit in with the other characters too. Thor's costume is made of many different things. Obviously, a lot of it looks like leather, but a lot of it is molded in soft materials to allow for fighting. Parts are leather, parts of it are metal. There's a lot of different things in there. It's just a great mesh of everything that they can find.
I feel like a god of Asgard, though, could do, like, a plastic mold. Like, I mean, he's from Asgard. They have magical materials.
Yeah. They have more things than we know. They have a rainbow bridge.
Yeah. Dun, 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 it's true, though. It is a really nice example of using both, you know, classic blacksmith kind of techniques to do stuff, to make metal and iron, et cetera, but also studio techniques with molding silicone.
I really
like
just
that.
Need to go, like, call my blacksmith and be like, please, can you just make this?
Oh, you got one on retainer?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Perfect. Everyone does.
Okay, we got to get him off the screen because I keep staring at his face.
Okay, so well, let's go over to Jeremy Renner and his new chic Hawkeye coat, which, going back one, it's fine. You can go back to that.
His coat tunic.
Yeah, the whole coat versus just the vest, which I love because it's a more stylish and fitted version of the costume. And I really like that they go more maroon than that bright purple from the comics, because I feel it's a little bit more hardened, a little bit more battle ready.
Yeah.
You know, he blends in a bit more with the surroundings.
Yeah, when you have a bright purple character sitting on a rooftop, you see him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to sneak up on anybody.
Yeah, no. And this is another character who, you know, we talk about the costumes the superheroes wear, but so much of their costume is also their body. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy Renner had to really work out his arm muscles because he's an archer.
Yeah.
And so he spent so much time from the first time we see him to even now to making sure he's got that physique that's going to look good, because he doesn't wear the sleeved jacket all the time. We get the vest version, which I adore.
He's so pretty.
I know. This really isn't any improvement over the Chris Hemsworth situation. No, it's
arms are my weakness, and basically this movie is going to be my giant weakness. If somehow Cap gets a sleeve ripped off, like, I'm just dead.
Yeah, dead. I know. It's forever.
But his arms being shown, it's crucial that the actors see their costumes before they're fully done, because it allowed him to train properly to make sure that his arms really were bulked up like he wanted.
Yeah. And this is another costume where they use a great mix of materials. Like, I've seen what looks like leather accents. I've definitely seen a synthetic polyester material. It's padded in various places. When you said that they're like molded on them, it really is. And I know it's not like a body mold of fabric. It's fabricated, but it's the level of detail that these teams are able to produce is just, it boggles my mind. I want to be able to tour the costume shop and see one in person. And luckily, I think if we go to the El Capitan to see it, like, luckily here in LA, we, between El Capitan and, is it Cinemark is the other theater? No.
Arclight thank you.
Arclight, yeah, will often carry the costumes on display. So I'm really excited to kind of see these guys in person. More than the actors, I just want to touch the costumes.
Well, because, again, with Hawkeye's costume, it's the same thing that we're seeing as a theme throughout, you know, blending the different techniques and also blending all the different kinds of fabrics to give it a dynamic appearance rather than trying to make it interesting by adding a whole bunch of colors.
Yeah. And I think that's something I've been, so as a, from my cosplay perspective, I've been struggling with, is that I got into this habit where I started making superhero suits because I'm like, I want to learn spandex. And I found it for me to be a very easy process that I love doing. And I want to, now I'm kind of bored of just making like a body condom, basically. and so there's all these other characters that have not appeared in film that I want to bring to life in the same vein that you see Avengers or Nolan's Batverse.
Yeah, like everyone was making Nolanized versions of all the different characters.
It's something that I feel like, you know, if you're a cosplayer and you want to play around, these are some really great stepping points.
Let's do Captain Britain and Red Dragon.
Oh my God.
For some reason, I have an obsession with Red Dragon. Really? She's in like one scene of Civil War, and I'm like, I love her.
That's fine. I can just do like Psylocke's Weird Revanche. Yeah. Now we're getting nerd deep. You can learn. Sorry. You can hear all this nerdy stuff on the Marvel movie news show. I think Hawkeye's stuff is great. I think the other thing that's really iconic with him is his bow and quiver. Mm-hmm. And it is obviously a custom made piece.
But what?
I can go get that at Walmart.
I thought you could find that at like Big Five.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
But I've seen some people already starting to do really great wood carvings of the bow on the replica prop form.
Well, it looks like it is wood.
It does look wood,
with obviously not
metal
wood.
Bits. Yeah. But yeah, I think in terms of doing this level of prop work, I feel this is attainable for a lot of like wood shop prop makers.
Sure.
Not for me.
Nope. I was going to say, I personally know nothing about woodworking, but if I did, I understand the basis of how you would go about doing that.
And I love the new quiver design for this film. It allows him, he's upgraded. He's got a power up.
It's
so
it's
a double quiver. He can carry more arrows, and it's easier for him to pull out which ones he wants because he has explosive tips, or I don't know if he has a sleep tip one. I'm just going for my Dragon Age stuff.
Yeah.
Like, poison, explosive, sleeping powder, regular, you know, you've got to have the crop, like the one that you can zip line on.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely essential.
Yeah. The classic Robin Hood one.
Exactly. I mean, how else? He is. He's basically Robin Hood.
Yeah.
But that's Hawkeye. He's pretty awesome. And then we've got the two new characters.
Wait, no, we got Iron Man.
Oh, wait, we've Iron Man. Oh, God. How can I forget Tony Stark?
Well, because his costume is almost entirely 3D CG.
Yeah.
CG. There is obviously a real one, but it's heavy. And like every time they make an Iron Man, it's always a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I mean, RDJ's a little sick of it.
Like, he's like,
it's heavy.
It's
uncomfortable. Yeah. It covers his face.
Yeah, but the thing I love about the Iron Man costume is that all the cosplayers who managed to make it
are like, phenomenal.
Yeah, I've seen everything from 3D printed to casted to people who make it out of duct tape and cardboard, and they all look fantastic. And I'm like, cool. Like, this is CG'd. You've made this practically. That's really awesome. Fist bumps for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, and then that's something Alex Byrne didn't have any real involvement in the Iron Man suit. It was handled by everyone over at Legacy in America. She goes on to say it's a mechanical piece, and there's a very specialist team working with him. So,
yeah. But she is crucial to what Tony Stark looks like out of his costume, which is most of the movie.
Yeah,
It's amazing to see how she pulls from Tony from Robert's personality to build Tony. Because I think for me, RDJ and Tony Stark are such parallels.
They're the same person.
They really are.
And they're the same person.
And the struggles Tony has faced in the comics, RDJ has faced in the films or in real life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great character. I think he really loves it. And I've never spoken to the man, and I don't know. And I try not to watch too many interviews with him, or reporters are jerks.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's found a lot of himself through this, and it makes me really happy. And when we see Tony Stark on screen, it's Robert Downey Jr. and he's having fun and he's doing a great job. And I feel like if I saw him on the street in like Hollywood or Santa Monica, he'd be wearing a Black Sabbath shirt.
Black Sabbath with his awesome sunglasses that aren't sunglasses.
Exactly.
Like he's just such a cool guy.
He is. And I think like in terms of wanting to cosplay Tony Stark, just go to Target. They have that shirt there. Like, it's it's super easy. And also fabulous suits.
Well, my favorite Tony Stark cosplays are the suits with just the Iron Man hand.
You gotta
love that.
I know we don't get the, I don't think we get the arc reactor in his chest now. They've resolved that. But if you wanted to make an arc reactor, from a previous, Tony Stark, like, you can do anything from getting a tap light and like putting some foamies over it, because I love tap lights because they're $2 and you can be like on, off, on, off, or LEDs if you want to get a little bit more like
fancy.
Small, fancy,
Yeah, they make the cool LED ones that go on the shirts. You could use that underneath the shirts.
Yeah, or you can actually, one of the companies online has a black Tony Stark shirt that lights up. So you can just do that. But I love, I keep wanting to make I call it the heart reactor. I should have worn my necklace. I did a laser cut one. I forgot it. But I love, I don't know. He's my favorite. But okay, now moving on to the two new characters. So we have Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch and her brother Quicksilver. And they are in the Marvel comic book universe. They are or are not, depending on what you're reading comics, the kids of Magneto, sometimes mutants in all intents and purposes for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They are miracles. They might be something inhuman. They might be superpowered. We'll find out in a couple of days. Yeah, we'll find out in a couple of days. But they are two young orphans from a made up Middle Eastern or Eastern European. Thank you, country. I should have like. Well, I always like them because they're technically from like Latvia, and I'm like, oh, I'm Czechoslovakian, so it's like.
If we go back to this. So I wanted to point out really quickly, both of them are in like what we would call like everyday wear. Yeah. Not in their superhero looks. But if you look at Scarlet Witch, this is a really cool image that I found. The cut of her jacket, the front body of it, it's rough. It looks like her piece.
Like her.
That's why
like
I called this out to you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's amazing. Like
and you wouldn't notice it.
That's so
cool. Except in this detailed shot.
Yeah. So
awesome.
They got little elements. So, yeah. So, the thing with what they've done with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver is they aren't yet superheroes or villains. So, they're just kids in street clothes, and this is actually like the iconic Scarlet Witch headpiece that she wears in the comics. And yeah, Katie, that's amazing little detail. That's such a nice nod to the original.
Alex did not say that's what this was, but I pulled it and I'm like, that looks so much like her headpiece. And the fact that it's fading from a red to a dark red, I feel like it's an homage to her original costume, which is two tones of red.
I think that's fantastic. And her dress, you know, it's funny, her dress kind of looks like a looks a little sheer there, so it's got it's definitely like a sheer fabric over like a slip. And I've seen it's great. I've already seen like four stellar cosplays of Scarlet Witch.
I love this. And then I mean, even her zip up gauntlets that she's wearing, like all of it just seems like it's referencing her costume.
It does. Yeah. A lot of it is kind of pulling back to some of the cartoon iterations where we've seen her just a little bit more like dark and gothy look.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really smart design, and it makes me excited to see what comes of it.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see how they ultimately adapt her superhero costume for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which, as we've mentioned several times, is so much more gritty than the bright, cheery comic book colors.
Yeah. But, and this is a costume that easily you could go thrift for.
Oh, like, totally.
I love it that, you know, this is what closet cosplay.
Yeah.
And you could easily just have fun with it. And I think, you know, if you wanted to make the gauntlet pieces, you could, but I think it's a really fun costume. And then, Quicksilver is, I think you just go buy it at Under Armour.
You do. Yeah. Actually,
it was actually a good one.
They partnered with Under Armour on this production. So Alexander Byrne was saying that basically Under Armour created not just Quicksilver's piece, but they created
everyone's
Under Armour pieces for pretty much everybody, because there are a lot of scenes in the film. I mean, we previously mentioned Tony Stark is mostly not in costume, but she wanted everybody to be wearing things that looked practical. Like they could be tactical gear, like at a moment's notice, they could go into battle, no problem. And so with Quicksilver, we see a piece that was specifically designed for him by Under Armour. And so basically Under Armour made the fabric, and then he had some fittings and they tailored it specifically to him. So I have not yet specifically seen his shirt in the collection, but
No, it's there, but it's really stripped down.
It is.
Like it's all so frustrating because the detail that I have on the one on Under Armour site, they could easily have been selling this one.
Yeah.
And so it's just so frustrating that they strip it down.
And that was my complaint, because I was going to buy the Black Widow compression vest that they have, and it was nothing like the one from ScarJo that she wears in it.
And it looks like it's not going to flatter anyone.
I know. And what they're selling them for, I'm like, come, you work in apparel design. You know.
They're selling them for like $75. I'm like, It should at least look very similar to the piece and not like a really cheap bootleg.
Even if it's just screen printed colors versus different fabrics, I would be okay with that.
Well, I don't think Under Armour can do that because it's supposed to be athletic wear that's breathable. That's once you screen print, you're cutting out the breathability. Can.
That's true.
But I mean, honestly, I mean, I feel like people would pay $150 for that or $200 because it's I mean, Quicksilver, we don't know and love yet, but we will.
They absolutely would. And once again, you know, this is a very functional and comfortable piece.
Yeah.
That any, you know, I could see more casual cosplay kind of fans doing this for cons all the time.
Or even if you're not a cosplayer and just a fan of some character and you work out. And
you want to work out with power.
Yeah. And I think it's a good marketing ploy, but I feel like they missed
Yeah.
Missed it.
Totally agree.
I completely 100% agree.
As opposed to some other apparel designers and marketing strategies that...
Matt is talking about me.
That nailed it on the head. So I'm gonna turn this over to you so you can talk about these fabulous garments we're wearing today.
Yeah, so I'm a designer. I'm a geek fashion designer at We Love Fine. And we wanted to do an Age of Ultron line because this movie is... The Avengers are so influential on me. And so we picked out six of the characters that we love, which... They're
I'll
over
go
there
back.
Right now.
I'll go
yeah,
yeah.
Meredith's wearing the Black Widow piece right now. Emma is Loki. I am Hawkeye. She's grabbing three others. Let's see if we can do this easily. Iron Man and then Thor, which have these really cool like capes on them, but they're not capes.
Yeah.
They're built in.
Super flowy, and then...
And then Captain America, which you want to put it on to show it off a little bit better, because it's weird. So, Captain America is the true fashion piece in the collection. It's a Dolman shrug, and it's a piece that I designed in my home months ago.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm in love with these pieces. So I'm letting everyone wear some to show them off. They're mostly screen print with foil printing, but the Captain America one is lace transferred. And, I was really excited. It should drop. It should be out by now.
Yeah. Hopefully. Otherwise, we just got you in trouble.
WeLoveFine.com. It should be on our feature right now, and it includes Meredith as one of our amazing models. She was Black Widow. I'm really excited. The shoot itself was a big deal because we used a lot of women of different shapes, sizes, and colors, which is important to me. I think it's... I'm so tired of just... I mean, I am white, but I'm so tired of seeing white girls because there's so many colors in the community. It's just... kind of racist to not have.
No, it's true. And it's, I think one of the reasons I was super excited to work on the shoot was the diversity and the true female power, because all the women involved in the shoot, from, you know, Yume and Michelle and Alicia Marie and Anastasia, who was on our first episode, fabulous girls who are all passionate geeks and just fun. There was no, like, I'll be honest, there was no cattiness, there was no weirdness, there was...
No.
Everyone was just like, we're here, we're going to celebrate.
Well, you guys all turn into the Avengers.
You were all
there for the purpose of avenging fashion. I loved it so much. And there's even more better stuff coming out. Like, this was quickly done because I did this whole thing in like 4 months.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's
which
amazing.
Which is crazy for a domestic turnaround. But these are all made in the USA too, which is also awesome.
Yeah. That's super awesome.
But there's even more fun stuff coming too.
Good. And I also, like, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Black Widow not being included in a lot of merchandise.
Right.
And I think it's great because you guys have a Black Widow Hawkeye leggings that are on site right now, and then you've got this awesome Black Widow top.
Yeah, the fun thing about that is we never have any issues with Marvel. When we submit Black Widow designs, they never say no, ever. They want that. It's a matter of the retailers demanding it. And it makes me so sad when Marvel gets in trouble for that. Like, we've had Black Widow Hawkeye leggings for... like 6-8 months now.
Yeah.
Like, they've been there. Just, you gotta go to the website and find it.
So it's kinda like, for all the hate that Marvel's getting, maybe you have to look at the retailers that you're shopping from.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they can be frustrating.
Yeah.
It's because they think there's a market for other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to sell the stuff in their stores. Thankfully, being on a website, we don't have to move product as quickly.
Yeah.
So.
But go check out WeLoveFine.com and pick up your Avengers Age of Ultron collection. I'm super excited, to wear this out all the time, everywhere. Also, my other favorite piece is a Captain Marvel sweater because.
Yeah, which is out now.
Sweaters and shorts, man. That's my jam now that I move out to SoCal. All right. I want to go over to some fan submissions because we had some amazing people submit their cosplays to us. First off, we have Brad Hale and his Iron Man Mark 43 cosplay. This was constructed out of cardboard, camping foam, and duct tape. He installed cheap tap lights and a closet light for his reflector. It took 46 hours over 2 weeks, and you can find him at brad-duct-tape.hale on Facebook.
I secretly wanted to make a Lego helmet to go with it, so it's like
the
Lego Iron Man.
Oh, that'd be so cool. I'm like, I love the ingenuity that people have. And then we have Joy in her Captain America stealth suit from The Winter Soldier. I love this. There's a couple photos she sent, but this one was like my favorite action shot. And her blog is All Things Curious Joy, J-O-I. And you can also find her on Twitter at Curious J-O-I.
I'm going to want to reach out to her.
Yeah, she's super. She's super sweet. And then we have Allie Cat cosplay and her Black Widow, which I love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Allie's actually, I've been following her work for some time now, and she is a fantastic cosplayer. and I adore her. And
holy
she,
cow.
Yeah, really kind of, you know, it's great to put a costume together and then to really want to embody that character.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie did a great thing. And then Epion Marquis as Captain America.
Oh, nice. And the Winter Soldier suit. That's great.
And that's shield almost looks like one of the prop ones that you can get kind of fairly regularly too, but it looks like he's added some coloring to it.
Yeah, so it looks like he has some shadow and depth.
Really fantastic. And then we have Roxana Meta as Black Widow. And she, she does the short hair version. And then I wanted to include this. So this is Bub Fett and his Mandalorian mercenary from Star Wars / Wolverine mashup. Because in the comics, Wolverine is an Avenger.
Yes.
Sorry, Fox owns the rights for the film version, so we'll never see it. But I love seeing mashup costumes like that.
Me too.
Really, like, thank you, Bub Fett. That's super cool. And then another, we don't have her in the movies yet, but maybe we're going to see She-Hulk, and this is Garlic Police, in the She-Hulk costume, which is Hulk's niece, who's also a lawyer, and she's fantastic. And then we have Superhero Lifestyle as Mockingbird, another MCU, but we see Mockingbird not in this costume, but she appears in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and she's getting her own spinoff TV series.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Love it.
And then Dragonfire Designs as Iron Man.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez.
I know. Really fantastic there. And
holy
then finally,
cow.
Michelle Lawhorn in an original Maria Hill based off of fan art by Kelsey Michelle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you see like the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo incorporated
into
the train.
Yeah, I do, into the train of the dress. That's so clever.
Yeah, and so I really love, you know, we can see the literal interpretations of these costumes that people make, or you can just kind of go that extra mile and do something very different, and it is really great, and I want to thank everyone who submitted their photos. Cool. Wow.
Oh, and this is Stephen and Beth Love.
Oh,
I don't know
my
if
God.
Going up there.
Oh, there it is.
He tweeted at you a few days ago.
Yeah. Well, actually, he tweeted at me while I was on a set the other day, and I couldn't. Yeah.
Is that up?
I think it's up. Yeah.
Okay.
And Stephen, you work with?
Yeah. Stephen and Beth both on there at We Love Fine. Stephen's one of our graphic, amazing artists. He does everything.
And shot behind scene video at the Avengers shoot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was at the shoot. And then, his wife, Beth, is, in charge of the contests that we do. We do a ton of contests.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah. They're super, super sweet guys. Thanks for including that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Do you have any final thoughts on Avengers Age of Ultron?
I mean, if you don't see it, you're crazy.
Yeah. I already have plans to see it twice.
Yeah.
I already have tickets to see it twice.
Yeah. Greg and I get back from a vacation that Thursday, going that, like, to midnight showing, and then schedule, barring, I'm going to go see it at 9:45 Friday morning. So
perfect.
Why not? Why not see it, like, 20 times?
Are you going to stay in the theater then and just watch it over and over and over?
Yeah, I'll just camp out. I'm really excited. And people have been saying from overseas, because the overseas got a release already, saying it's a really good film. So I'm really super excited for it. And super excited for next week's topic, because we're going to talk a classic sci-fi film, The Fifth Element, and the amazing designs of Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Amazing.
My family had like 5 copies of The Fifth Element for whatever reason. And
well,
no regrets.
I hope you're ready because I'm going to come and cosplay for this one. So
I'm excited.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to The Cosplay Coach. And remember, if you go find us on iTunes, subscribe to us there. Give us the 5 stars. Find us on YouTube. Thumbs up. Like us. You can find us on Twitter at The Cosplay Coach and on Facebook.com/The Cosplay Coach. I am Meredith Placco at M Placco.
I'm Katie Elhoffer at Elhoffer Design.
And I'm Emma Fife at Emma Fife.
Thank you all for watching, and we'll be back next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spector, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we'd like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.